I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I don't play the game for money. Never once in my life have I ever touched a football and thought about an individual bank account or what was to come. I play the game because of my love, my passion. I control what I control, and the rest, I don't give it too much worry. I don't give it too much thought.
Back, this Jerry Jones and your Dallas Cowboys.
From a little boy, I've always imagined being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and I've been blessed to be that, and never imagined wearing anything else.
Well, that'll get you emotional. Dak back in action finally. The Cowboys remain in a great position during his absence. Someone here says nothing should change in this Cowboys offense. Don't do that, Dan. Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky, Keyshawn Johnson here. Adam Schefter is joining us for the hour as well. More on Dak in moments, guys. But Tua Tagovailoa also back in practice. We begin in Miami. And, of course, Tua expected to return this week. You see him running around out there. He's coming off that concussion. And he's been progressing well, according to reports. Even had some medical clearance last week. The Dolphins, though, being conservative as possible with this. Here's Tua on what he remembers from that day.
I remember the entire night up to the point where I got tackled. I was unconscious, so I couldn't, you know, really tell what was going on. After I got tackled, I don't remember much from there. Getting carted off, I don't remember that. But I do remember, things that were going on when I was in the ambulance and then when I arrived at the hospital. It's been a process, that's for sure. Having to deal with the interviews with the NFL and the NFLPA, and then having to go and see doctors outside with second opinions. So a lot of it has been, I would say, pretty stressful.
Head injuries, scary. ESPN Dolphins reporter Marcel Louis-Jacques joining us now. And Marcel, you were at practice today. What'd you see from Tua?
Laura, we got to watch the first few minutes of Dolphins practice today, and Tua looked just like himself. Smile on his face as he got onto the practice field, joking with his teammates and coaches, throwing the ball pretty sharply. It's everything that they need as they look to snap this three-game losing streak. It's been a sharp decline offensively without Tagovailoa, and I asked him what he's learned about having to take over for a team on a skid. He said, I just have to be myself. I'm not the savior of this team, and in order to snap this streak, it's going to take all of us on all three sides of the ball. Back to you, Laura.
Thanks to Marcel. Key, we saw Tua back at practice. You seem kind of laughing and joking, moving around. You have some reservations about him playing this soon. And just right before that, we heard Tua even saying how he doesn't remember anything from the night of the big hit.
Absolutely. When you've been in this game and you've played and you've been around other teammates that have had concussion issues, yeah. I played with Wayne Corbett, a guy famously known to have concussion issues. And you look up and it happens once. You say, okay, give him a little time. It happens a second time. You say, give him a little more time. This has been, what, about 3 weeks or so since the two incidents has happened? And I'm not a doctor, nor do I claim to be a doctor. And I can't think of people's mental state. But I certainly know that I've been around enough people to have concussions that this, to me, is too soon. And I understand the Dolphins want to be in the mix and they want the offense to go flying high. All it takes is a little simple thump here, a thump there. We know this. So when I look at it, I'm like, why are they really trying to put him on the field right now, even though he was medically cleared. All it takes is, you know, this RPO, he pulls it out, he decides he's going to run it, or some backside thing comes, or he gets hit. That's all I'm saying.
He also mentioned the interviews with the NFL and the NFLPA that were extensive. There have been a lot of people involved in getting him cleared.
Yeah, I mean, my natural reaction, Keyshawn, is like, well, he's been cleared by the doctors, but I agree. Like, part of me, since the incident has happened, has kind of peeled back that thought process a little bit. I just wanted to touch on something quickly, because when I was watching Tua talk, he did not look happy. You know, like, Tua always looks like a kid that's full of joy and smiling. Mm-hmm. That's why Marcel's report, and Marcel does such a great job, I felt was really important, because when I watched Tua, he looked like almost depressed and like worn out.
Even I think he's been through it.
Right, yeah. And frustrated, and I thought it was really important to hear Marcel say he looked like himself. He was smiling. That was really important, because Tua's that kind of kid that kind of puts off that type of aura.
Right. We saw the video of it. I mean, at least in the video that we showed, he looked like he was a little bit more the personality that we're used to. Yeah. All right, so we're assuming he plays, right? He's planning to play. What does the Dolphins' offense look like with him back,
Dan? It's been lacking the ability to make the big play downfield ever since he's been out. And that was, it's funny, because that was the knock on Tua, is you can't throw the ball downfield. And ever since he's taken over with the addition of Tyreek and Jalen, they've been really good throwing the football downfield. This stat is great. You know, everyone said he couldn't do it 10 yards downfield. Look at the fall off QBR-wise, completion percentage, yards per attempt. And we're talking about plays that aren't necessarily only Tua dropping back and throwing the ball downfield. But we've seen that. It's also, Akeem knows this as well, is some of their RPO game, but also the ball placement takes that 7-yard throw and makes it a 15-yard throw, because those guys can catch and run. So if he looks like the Tua that we saw the first 3 weeks, that's a huge jump for their offense.
Yeah, it's going to sound crazy when I say this, but the best thing that could have happened for Tua was Teddy Bridgewater playing. Hmm. Because you really wouldn't have really known his importance. We would have kept talking about Jalen Waddle. We would have talked about Tyreek Hill. We would have talked about the mastery of Mike McDaniels and how he calls plays. And I think at some, because of what Tua and the scrutiny that he got before he actually was the full-time starter.
He gets more credit now for the performance.
He gets more credit for the performance. Sure. He was kind of lost in all of the things that Miami had done to help him, basically. But, Dan, you alluded to something yesterday, the mental part of the game, right? And I tell you this all the time, and this is why I was so high on Jameis. Regardless of if it's 2 weeks being out and you're going through concussion protocol, there are things you can see by not being active.
Sure.
Right. And I've heard, I've talked to players a lot. There are things you learn, you get better. If you're really intentional about it, when you have to watch your football team play, operation standpoint, Tua's strongest suit since he was at Alabama was his accuracy. And accuracy is at a premium for this football team because of run after catch.
Right.
And that is why this offense is being able to be ran like that. I believe Tua is a level up of quarterbacking than Jimmy Garoppolo with the same type of things that Jimmy Garoppolo has been offered.
You know, he also makes his return against the Steelers defense that has allowed 278 passing yards per game. That's third most in the NFL. Ooh, yeah. So welcome back to
played good last week against Tampa, though.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so another quarterback making a return, Dak Prescott, getting back at practice, getting ready for the Lions this week. The Cowboys, 7-point home favorites. And the Cowboys topped 24 points only once under Cooper Rush. You expect a nice boost with Dak returning, and Prescott opens up much more in this offense. It also helps that Zeke Elliott's been playing well, had his best game even in a loss to the Eagles last week of this season. So since Mike McCarthy took over in 2020, the Cowboys have averaged over 30 points per game with Prescott under center. That's the best mark in the NFL. And while Dallas did go 4-1 with Cooper Rush at quarterback, that success, as I'm saying, mostly driven by the defense, right? If Prescott and the Cowboys offense can return to form, this team could be dangerous with the way that defense has been playing. Doing all this just to hype up Swagoo over there. What does it mean to get Dak back to this offense, especially with the way they've been able to sort of hold while he's been out
and
win some games?
It means so much to me, just personally. I'm just happy.
You a little twinkle in that eye, a little glimmer over there?
8 minutes and we're talking about you.
This team is going to be more explosive offensively. They don't have to play as conservative as they've been playing. And when you think about where Dallas really wants to be, you want to play with a defense like this with a lead. And they wasn't going to allow Cooper Rush to go out and try to get 14 or 21-point leads. And I can't wait to hear y'all talk about this, because I know I'm right. If you get this, if you get this defense, and if you're aggressive offensively, the best thing Cooper Rush did while we were having this stupid conversation about if they beat Philly, should he keep playing? The best thing he did was take care of the football. That was the best trait that Cooper Rush had.
Hold on. But here's my pushback to you. What's best for Dak Prescott is not what's best for the Dallas Cowboys.
See, but you're missing the whole point. I'm not saying you roll Dak out there and you intentionally throw 35.
You just said be more explosive.
Be more explosive.
Man, let the man finish, Dan.
I know.
Damn,
Let me get done. All right? Cooper Rush game plan. Can we agree that when you went into games with Cooper Rush, you said, We got to set them circumstances. If they go this way, this is the wheelhouse.
We got eight plays, man.
This is the wheelhouse that we want to stay in.
Sure.
That wheelhouse is a little bit bigger with Dak Prescott.
Okay.
I'm not saying you go out there and you think you got a bombs away 40 passes a game.
Sure.
You could stay in the same vein. But give this defense a 14-point lead like you weren't going to take chances of doing with Cooper Rush. You're probably going to win a lot of games.
All right, so
because I don't think we disagree. I think you want to disagree. I don't think we disagree.
No, I mean, I think the big change for this offense.
You're right anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Nah, the big change for this offense under Cooper Rush was they put him under center more.
Yep.
They went way more max protection, way more play action. But I don't believe that was strictly because just of Cooper Rush. And everyone might look at these numbers and say, well, they're not that different. They are. I mean, this is a massive difference. We put Cooper Rush under center. Less shotgun. Way more play action. I mean, that's a big difference now. Max protection. But I don't believe it was just because, well, it's Cooper Rush. We talked about the injuries to this offensive line. So through this process, did they not realize that maybe it's not the best thing for Dak Prescott, but it's the better thing for our offensive line?
Yeah.
It's not the best thing for Dak Prescott, but it's the better thing for our two backs. And that's why I think, like, to sit here and say we're just going to become this chuck and duck explosive offense.
Well, that's not what I'm saying.
But how do you explain?
Let me ask you a question.
Getting a 14.
Go ahead, Key.
Let Key go and then you can ask.
Quick with mine. It's simple for me. Keep the Cooper Rush game plan.
I agree.
Keep that same game plan. Okay, we're gonna play defense like you said.
Right. Yep.
We're going to line up. We're going to get him under center some. Mm-hmm. We're going to run
the
football.
But that's not the best thing for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, so see.
Will you let me finish?
Go ahead, Keith.
One time. That's all I ask, Daniel.
I like when we fight. Go ahead.
It may not be the best for Dak Prescott, but it's best for the team.
I literally just said that.
Anyway, at the end of the day, Marcus and Laura, I'm going to leave him out of it. Defense, play their game, run the football. And every now and then, if you need Dak Prescott to hit a chunk play, we know he can.
Yeah.
They didn't believe in Cooper Rush in doing that.
So we need more
time. That's all. Now, y'all go on and y'all take the last couple minutes.
Well, I will say this. I think you guys are kind of all, as the arbiter and the judge, I think you're all saying the same thing.
We are.
Kind of.
That's
what I'm
saying.
But Dan won't say something different, though.
You're thinking about it differently.
I like that y'all wanted to disagree.
Here's how you sum this up. What you saying and what you saying. This is how the Cowboys were winning last year. Until they went to, let's throw it 45 times.
That ain't gonna work.
And we didn't like
mindset,
that.
Don't you agree their mindset transitioned to let's go be more explosive?
100%. So what I'm saying is they still, during that time, were more explosive and the number one offense in the league.
Yep.
But they leaned into the run game a little bit more. That's all they did.
I'm glad when we had our call, Laura, the producer said stick with the Dallas Cowboys, because I can give you many examples of teams running, playing defense, running the football, and being conservative in the passing game.
The Cowboys were doing this last year. They were just more explosive because Dak is a better quarterback,
bro.
Also
helps.
That's my point.
It helps when you have a run game that's having success with Zeke and Tony Pollard bringing some explosiveness. Let's get to another top story, guys. As the NFL owners are meeting and underway in New York, Washington owner Dan Snyder not in attendance. Colts owner Jim Irsay spoke about Snyder yesterday to the other owners. Listen to this.
I believe that there's merit to remove him as owner of the Redskins. Some of the things I've heard, it doesn't represent us at all. And, you know, I want the American public and the world to know what we're about as owners. I believe it's in the best interest of the National Football League that we look it squarely in the eye and deal with it.
Adam Schefter joining us now. Obviously, the misspeak there from Irsay. They are not the Redskins. They are now the Commanders. But what more can you tell us, Adam, about this situation?
Well, this was the first NFL owner, Laura, that came out and called essentially for the ouster of Commanders owner Daniel Snyder, who released his own statement saying that NFL owners should not judge him by the contents of the article that ran on ESPN.com last week. The fact of the matter is Mary Jo White is now investigating the situation and the culture that existed in Washington. And a lot of what is or isn't in her report could set a tone for what comes next. But clearly there are owners now who are in favor of ousting Daniel Snyder. And Jim Irsay was the first one to come out and say as much. He didn't care what skeletons are in his closet. We know there are some there. He wanted to speak out and speak up, and that's exactly what he did. And that was significant because it's the first time that it's happened from any NFL owner.
Yeah, a reminder, you know, some people may think that Roger Goodell could make this call. No, this would have to be a vote from the majority of the owners if another owner were to be removed. Thanks to Adam, more from him coming later on in NFL Live. We're just getting started here. Aaron Rodgers has some interesting thoughts on the Packers offense. Dan heads to the touchscreen to provide some answers on how they can move the ball better on that side of the ball. We'll see if Aaron's paying attention. Plus, the Cardinals get DeAndre Hopkins back for Thursday Night Football against the Saints, but someone here doesn't think he'll be enough to solve their struggles. Find out next.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Monday Night Football returns with a matchup between the Bears and Patriots from Foxborough. 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Peyton and Eli also back on ESPN2. And our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. How about a little read and react time, guys? The latest news around the NFL. We begin with the Bucs, and their offense is stagnant, to say the least. Here's Todd Bowles and the lack of big plays.
Hey.
We understand we're different, and we're making the adjustments, and we'll be fine as a staff making those adjustments going forward. So it's really not anybody's idea or thing that we're not doing. We just have to come together and understand who we are and that we're not last year because of the people being different, and we have to find different ways to get explosives. And that's a coaching thing, and then that's a playing thing. But I think we're working in the right direction, and we'll be okay with it.
All right, Key, well, they still have Tom Brady. Can the Bucs turn it around?
No, they can't turn it around. They're not out of it yet, okay? They're sitting at 3-3, so that division is not very good. But here's what I will say. Until they can go get somebody and guys can get healthy, they're going to be a little bit in trouble in terms of explosiveness. There's no question about it. Gronkowski on line two?
Last I checked, he's like hanging out on Instagram. He's doing all kinds of things. I don't know. We always wonder.
He's always hanging out and doing all kinds of things.
That's what I'm saying. We always wonder, like, is he really retired? I think he might really be retired. I don't know.
You think Gronk gone?
I do now.
Like, right? Please save me.
I do.
All right, this caught our attention yesterday. Travis Kelce restructured his deal to make some room for maybe somebody else. Here's more from Kelce.
You cannot verify or debunk the rumors out there surrounding OBJ?
Odell Beckham Jr.?
I think that's the OBJ I'm referring to.
I want them to come true. Yeah, I haven't heard anything. I have not heard anything in the locker room or anything around the facility. But
all right.
I think that...
All right, playing a little coy with it. I get it.
Something's in the air for sure. And if it means OBJ, all right now.
That'd be good. All right.
Ooh, something's in the air. I mean, either way, right? The Chiefs looking to add somebody. You like it?
I love it. Here's the thing people got to realize about Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is phenomenal. Travis Kelce is phenomenal. There's not a receiver on this roster that anybody fears. And if Odell Beckham Jr. comes back healthy, you have to fear him. You will not man him up for majority of the game. Patrick Mahomes will have a guy that can bail him out of a lot of situations that he finds himself in when he's scrambling. To me, this is a no-brainer. If it's available, you have the money, and Odell Beckham Jr. shows you that he's fully healthy and ready to return to his explosive self, for me, in an Andy Reid offense? Are you kidding me? This should be a no-brainer for the Kansas City.
You know what I think is funny is Travis Kelce was like playing coy on his own podcast.
Yeah, man. Hey, man. Travis, no. Call OBJ,
you know what
man.
Something people do fear is your big-ass neck having that button all the way up there.
Excuse me? For a second, I thought you were talking about me. I'm like, this is not even buttoned.
The man that talked about me on TV, man.
Dan, you're next little, so that's why you can leave it unbuttoned or buttoned or whatever you want to do. Anyway, to the Packers, where Aaron Rodgers has complained about his offense all week, and Matt LaFleur said he doesn't even know what his quarterback's talking about. Anyway, here's more from Rodgers.
And the most important thing is executing the plan and scoring points. The details have not been good enough. We've had multiple plays where 10 guys are doing something right and one guy isn't, where 9 guys are doing it right and 2 guys are not on the same page with communication. So that just stuff can't happen.
So Dan, why have the Packers had trouble executing their offense?
Aaron's words are perfect. 10 guys right, 1 guy wrong. And a lot of times we don't love to hear like we got to execute better, but there's a lot of truth to it. Okay, so the Jets are in quarters coverage, meaning everyone's got a quarter of the field in zone defense. Now, the Packers are in a perfect play call to attack it. This guy's going to run a post. He's an alert for us if we get that quarters coverage and that safety gets down low or something. But the real guy you're trying to throw the ball to is this sail route, and it's going to be off that flat defender. Now, everyone pay attention because this ball is going to be wide open, or this route is going to be wide open, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't get the ball to him. You sit there and go, well, why not? Because look at this. This post is taken off this coverage. Both these corners and that safety are flowing out of there. This guy's wide open. That flat defender is inside, but Aaron's going to get that ball tipped up. Now, I want to go back to the beginning to point out, well, what's the one person, Dan, that can do their job just a little bit better? Pay attention to this guard right here versus Quinnen Williams, because what's going to happen is one of two things. Either your guard blocks better, or Aaron Jones, as you insert between the center of the guard, maybe you get a little inside chip to get that ball out, because if you do, guys, we've seen Aaron Rodgers make that throw 1,000 times. Not only is that a completion, that might be a 30 or 40 yard chunk. Now, second play is going to be a screen play, one of the best screen offenses in the NFL. I want everyone to pay attention to this right guard, number 70. In the screen game, when you're an offensive lineman, you're taught to come out and go flat down the line of scrimmage, get to your spot, and then go make your block. You don't go where to the guy is, you go to where he's going to be. The guard comes out to see he's got that angle right now. He's coming here instead of coming here. Well, if he comes flat down the line of scrimmage, Aaron Jones catches that ball, and then he's able to make this block out in space. Guys, everybody at home, look at all this space that you now have for Aaron Jones with one guy. One of the best players in the NFL with the ball in his hands is going to be man-on-man with a linebacker. I'm not saying you that this is going to be a 20-yard gain. I'm telling you this might be a touchdown for this Green Bay offense. That's one guard that messes up the first play. One guard messes up the second play. Now, I want everyone to pay attention in the run game to Mercedes Lewis. He's been a tremendous player for a long time, one of the better blocking tight ends in all of football. The Packers are going to run one of their run games where this center or this guard is going to pull. Perfect. They're going to lead through to that player. Again, pay attention to Mercedes Lewis going to block against the line, that middle linebacker. Right now, Mercedes Lewis, what's the saying in football? Leverage wins, low man wins. He's high. Mosey's kind of kicking his butt in that situation, because if he gets low and makes that block, Aaron Jones is going to hit his head on the goalpost. That is not a shot at anybody on that offense, those two guards or Mercedes. Mercedes is a great player, but it's just an example of Aaron Rodgers' point is like, man, we're close. The execution, we're one guy off. If the guard makes that block, if he comes flat on the screen, if Mercedes gets a little bit lower on Mosley, I know it's hard, but it's just an example of one guy can kind of derail that play. I showed you two plays that were going to be huge chunks. Three might be touchdowns for their offense.
Right. You know, it's funny because you have been pumping the brakes and the concern for the Packers. This right here kind of shows me
exactly
why.
And they're good enough to get it done.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily schemes, not necessarily the players. They just need to execute. All right, more to come on NFL Live. New York football back and dominating. Key tells us what the special recipe is that has both of these teams and the Jets and Giants looking so good. We'll be right back.
Hope you're not too late. Set my demons straight.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Glad to have you on NFL Live. Man, look at these New York teams. 5-1 Giants, 4-2 Jets, and New York football off to a hot start. Speaking of the Giants, let's start there. They trailed the Ravens by 10 points in the fourth quarter on Sunday before storming back to the win. Brian Daboll's squad now 3-1 this season in games they've trailed by 10 or more points. The most wins in the NFL in those situations over the previous five seasons combined. The Giants 3-47 in those games. So you wonder, how are they doing it, right? It seems to be a culture shift for sure. But, Dan, what's impressed you most about this Giants team?
Their defense, you know, that Wink Martindale has brought over, and the simulated pressures. Now, simulated pressures, for everyone who understands at home, is like the illusion that X amount of people are going to come and then not that many people actually blitz. So you can kind of confuse without exposure on your back end, right? You got that three tight end package for the Ravens. I'm going to give you six guys at the line of scrimmage. Right now, I'm like, oh, here comes pressure. You're going to get Thibodeau blocked one-on-one by a tight end, but that guy off the bottom of a screen line of scrimmage is going to drop out. Now, Thibodeau's winning on his rush, but they still have six guys in coverage. I only have three guys really in my route, maybe four. So even though Lamar's scrambling around, they've got enough people on the back end to really plaster the secondary. Very similar look, right? We're going to go with those tight ends on the field. Here comes that six-man pressure again. Everybody, we got to be ready to get the ball out of our hands because of the overload. But there's that same look. Now the backer's going to drop to the flat. This guy drops vertical to the middle of the field. Lamar's got six guys in coverage again, but it looked like six guys in pressure. Thibodeau essentially is coming unblocked. You know, you could potentially get to that backside kind of slant, but you got a guy driving on the football and you're in panic mode. So when you get to those simulated pressures and you get to line of scrimmage with quarterback, you're like, uh-oh, pressure's going to come. Like, all up, where do I go with the football because I don't have enough people? But then what they do is they create those one-on-one matchups. But usually when you create all those one-on-one matchups for us quarterbacks, I know that I got an option to throw the football. Like, yeah, you don't have enough people to cover. In the simulated pressure world, you do because you're dropping somebody out to add into your coverage unit. That's what makes it hard. That's what they're doing really well.
And then, too, like, but yeah, I'm glad you said cultural shift because a lot of people think, like, psychologically it's a thing, but all NFL players want is a plan they believe in.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like for so many years that the Giants have went into games, like, let's see what's going to happen.
Sure.
Like, let's figure out as the game goes along what's going to happen. This defensive line is playing well because they have a plan. You just went through simulated pressure. But it's certain guys on this defense that now are starting to kind of live in their role. Dexter Lawrence is not a pass rusher. He's a big-time run stuffer, two-gapper, and now he's getting opportunities to get one-on-ones because of some of those simulated pressures. A guy we ain't talking about enough, Jihad Ward, number 55, he coming on. Wink is using him in the same vein that he used Matthew Judon, if you pay attention to how he's being used moving around the line of scrimmage. But here's the thing. The New York Giants, I looked at them after the Ravens game on the sideline, right? No shock in there, no shock to them that they won that game. And that tells you that something is changing. Like, they're believing in how they're moving on Sundays. And yeah, man, like, it just, that's why people right now with the Jets, like, people right now with the Jets don't want to admit it. The Jets are a good football team.
Yeah.
Right? Because they believe in their plan. But I think that's the most important thing that the Giants have going for them.
Why
right
y'all
now
work so hard? Y'all work hard, man. I'm going to be late. People. Well, I'm lazy because I'm about to give you some lazy stuff. They playing defense. They run the football with Saquon, and the quarterback ain't turning the damn ball over. That's how they win it. It's simple. Everything y'all said, I just package it up. That's fine.
Key,
I'm just going to do lazy analysis.
We don't allow lazy on this show. You know
lazy
more
right
than
now
that.
Because y'all summed it up. The defensive side of the ball is doing their job. All I did was sprinkle a little Saquon Barkley in there and gave you a little Daniel Jones is to turn the football over. If they go out there and find them a receiver, though, they got to find them an alpha dog. If they do that, then this team can go really
OBJ
far.
OBJ want to go back there?
See, the OBJ thing, first of all, we don't even know if he's healthy, Laura.
Yeah.
Right? And let's assume he is healthy.
We think he is.
Let's assume he's healthy.
Sometimes I like to live in a glass half full world. Let's assume he is healthy.
If I were the Giants,
I would not go chase a wide receiver.
They have to, though, man.
I would not.
You got to get a big dog. You have to.
They gave a big dog $72 million.
But that dude, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a guy who is productive.
But don't you think that potentially stunts their future?
No, because right now they're in win mode. They were not in win mode at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
They were in evaluation mode.
Yeah. But they're 5-1.
But you got to think, though, ultimately, like, if you're going to go out there and spend money, they got to figure out what they're going to do with Daniel and Saquon.
But, Coach, it might not. Okay.
That's coming up. Yeah. Hey, no, we got to get to the Jets.
Yeah,
sorry.
We got to move on.
So you guys are talking about it, but Zach Wilson has won all three of his starts since returning from injury. But it's been the Jets' run game that's made the difference. During their three-game win streak, the Jets have run the ball twice as often as they did during the first 3 weeks of the season. New York has 8 rushing touchdowns over the last 3 weeks. That's good for the most in the NFL. Why has this Jets offense had so much success in the run game, Dan?
Breece Hall is the next Le'Veon Bell. You know, I often heard backs or running back coaches talk great backs, specifically in this scheme, this Shanahan scheme. They've got great vision, patience, and burst. And Breece Hall has that. And that's why the outside zones become a big part of their plan. So the landmark is the outside leg of the tackle. 4-man front for the defense, okay? When that motion pulls that linebacker, the read is the defensive tackle front side. We have kind of gathered that defense. We've won that block. He pushes it front side. We got people on. That's versus a 4-man front. Now this one's versus a 5-man front. Marcus knows this. That guy's like a 4-eye or an inside shade of the tackle. We call him a 4-eye or a 5. Motion, again, very similar formation. He's still reading that guy, though. We don't win the block. We don't capture the edge this time. Press the hole. Don't cut too early. Now have great vision, patience, and burst. And that's the big trademark for – listen, I played in this offense with a back that was named Arian Foster. And he's very similar to Arian Foster. Arian came on. Arian had great vision.
Yep.
And he had great patience.
Slow player.
And then, oh, my goodness. Yep, and then player. Once he saw his cut, and he knew what the read was for his cut, right? He was a smart player. It was bye-bye. Yep. And I think that really has – because that's the basis of this offense, the outside zone. Everything goes off the outside zone.
This was in Houston?
Yes. He was a bad dude in Houston.
All we worked was cutback.
Yes.
Because he was going to kill you.
But the big thing for those guys is to press the hole to make sure that those guys fly. And then when they do, you cut it.
And it's even more impressive that you talk about Breece, because for young backs, that's tough. Because they think the game is going so fast that they got to just stick
to it. He's translated really quickly and really well. Yeah. Key, these Jets are 4-2. They legit?
I think they are. I wasn't buying into them, obviously, at the beginning of the season. Right. I was scratching my head like everybody else, trying to figure out if Robert Saleh was the right guy, the right fit. I always knew that Joe Douglas was the right head coach. But they got those dudes playing, right? Mm-hmm. And it becomes, and I joke about it, it becomes laziness again, because I have a certain philosophy that I believe in, and that is playing defense, Marcus. Running the football, like you said, Dan, no matter if you're pressing a hole, you tossing it, whatever it is, you're gashing them. And a quarterback that seems to be coming along and not making any major mistakes, and the one thing that they have that the Giants don't have is they got a couple receivers on the perimeter.
Yeah, they do.
That can go. Yeah. And if you have that and you keep it simple, you become that 19-23, 200 yards, a touchdown, no turnovers, and rush the ball for 100 yards, and the defense, and Quentin Williams and Sauce Gardner do what they do, you're going to win a whole lot of games,
this
man.
This coming from the throw me the dang ball
but
guy.
But I'm
going
to be the dude getting the 12 of the 19 attempts. Right, Marcus?
I'm
glad you brought up GM Joe Douglas, though. And I think what we had to get past with the New York Jets is realizing, and RC said it Tuesday, is that these young players are good.
They're good, though.
Right?
Their youth is awesome.
But also, like, you can look in the NFL at times and see polar opposites. We're frustrated as hell with the Arizona Cardinals because we feel like they got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Right? And Robert Saleh has brought in Mike LaFleur, but they're accentuating these guys. Sauce Gardner is a lockdown corner. So guess what we're going to ask him to do? Lockdown receivers. We're not going to ask him to play zone.
Yeah, we're
going to ask him
to
fill spots. We are going to – when you look at this team, defensively and offensively, every guy is doing what their elite skill set makes them really good football players. And Garrett Wilson, You work the middle of the field. And when we get on edges, you make 50-50 ball catches.
Yeah.
Just like Davis. Dude, listen, when you think about where the Jets were, and I don't think we knew to the party on thinking they had good young talent.
We knew they had good young talent. We didn't know how that talent
was. I didn't know how they were going to jail. I knew they had good talent.
Bro, when Robert Saleh said, "We keeping receipts."
Well,
I sat on the show and laughed. And because I had the Jets on my mind. Hmm. This defense is turning into San Francisco.
You know, I don't from
the Super Bowl run.
That's why I go. I have a no return policy on those receipts, though.
Uh-oh.
You can't come
he
to me.
Take
I'm taking nothing. You can get some credit, but I ain't taking my advantage.
All right, lots of quarterback news to get to, and some of these guys are returning. Adam, what's the latest with Dak Prescott?
Well, I get all the keys receipts. Let me say that before we get to the quarterback news, too.
<You do. laughs>
As for Dak Prescott, he was medically cleared today to go through practice, took the majority of the reps with the first team offense, is going to stay after and then throw an additional 40 to 50 passes with perimeter players, and he is on track right now to start Sunday and make his comeback against the Detroit Lions, which is good news for the Dallas Cowboys. Looking good in practice, and he is expected to be a full participant tomorrow as well. Tua Tagovailoa also back at practice today, and barring any setbacks, he is on track to start Sunday night on a night in which Brian Flores will come back as the Steelers' linebackers coach, on a night in which the Dolphins will honor their unbeaten team in their 50th anniversary. Big night in Miami on Sunday night, but no bigger reason than the return of Tua Tagovailoa. And the Patriots are waiting to see whether or not they'll have Mac Jones back at practice. He's missed the last two games with a high ankle sprain. He's been making progress, and that tells me that he's got a real chance to be able to play Monday night against the Chicago Bears after rookie quarterback Bailey Zappe held down the fort, got two victories, played very well for New England, but I think that made Mac a little bit itchier, and I will not be surprised if Mac Jones is starting on Monday night for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, for people who know Mac's journey, he had to work really hard even to get an opportunity at Alabama, then, of course, to get drafted. He didn't want anybody coming up and Wally Pippen him. All right, we got more coming your way on NFL Live. We headed the trenches. Dan and Marcus giving us their top five matchups to look for this week. Spoiler alert, there's one rematch they'll revisit from a few weeks ago.
I'm not.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I know he looks like, don't look like a big guy no more because he looks svelte. He got the intermittent fasting. But O-line, D-line, five most important matchups. We're going to go quick. We're going to go start it early. Laremy Tunsil versus Chandler Jones starting number five.
Chandler Jones started to come on against Kansas City. Obviously, we know Laremy Tunsil, big time paid, athletic, great feet tackle. It's going to be a good matchup to watch for Davis.
All right, then we're going to go Charles Cross, the rookie from Seattle versus Khalil Mack, second in the league in sacks.
Yeah, we saw him kind of get back to it, too, against Denver. Charles Cross being a rookie. Buckle up, young fella. It's going to be coming at you a long time.
I got to put 11 up there because he's an MVP candidate. Penei Sewell versus Micah Parsons.
Buddy, I'm not even going to focus on the pass, the run game. Penei Sewell is a role grader. Micah Parsons, you talked about it last week with Philly running to him. He's going to have to handle that run and earn his right to rush the passer.
America quietly to coach for 3-2-1 now. Quentin Nelson versus DeNico Autry. Big fella on big fella.
You know I'm a big fan of DeNico Autry, and I do think some of Quentin Nelson is going to have to deal with Jeffrey Simmons as well. Two really good pass rushers from the interior. Jeffrey is obviously your physical, push the guy back in the pocket. DeNico, great hand work, ability to get around you and get on edges. Quentin got his work cut out for him.
Autry dominated last time they
absolutely.
Right? All right, so Myles Garrett versus Ronnie Stanley. Myles Garrett, two sacks last week. And shout out to Myles Garrett. Last week, 63.5 career sacks would broke, which broke the Browns' career or organization sack
record. Listen, man, Miles coming back, obviously just good to see him back on the field. Yeah. But getting back to his old ways, it's still the quick first step. Yeah. It's still the quick long arm. And the thing that makes him different than every other rusher is the speed, the power. Yeah. I bet Miles Garrett feels like he's 380 pounds when he puts his hands on you, but he's just moving as quick as a cat.
Speed this and power is
a big, it's a big challenge for Stanley, too, coming off New York because they gave up some pressure.
Speed and power is something you never had.
Move out of my way. I almost threw you out the damn
What do we
thing.
Got now? Run it.
Man, y'all think you have speed and power. Get out of here. A good news for the Cardinals with DeAndre Hopkins returning from his 6-game suspension. The Cardinals also traded with the Panthers to get Robbie Anderson, too. So extra boost with Hollywood Brown likely out for a while. What it all looks like, who knows? Kyler Murray, though, when he has DeAndre Hopkins, is much better, Key. Makes sense. Okay, so do you think the addition of Hopkins is going to turn this Cardinals offense around?
No, I don't think it's going to turn it around at all. I think DeAndre Hopkins will still do some of the same things that he was doing prior to his suspension and into last year. They have a whole lot more problems than DeAndre Hopkins and the receiver, starting with the sideline and the head coach. He looks like he doesn't understand how to coach professional football. You paid a quarterback $250-some million, but he's your running back, essentially, and that's not going to work. They got problems on the defensive side of the ball. And on top of that, Laura, they can't win in the toaster. They can't win in the big toaster in Arizona to save their life.
It is hot there. What?
They got to play defense and run the football.
Oh,
will you shut up?
We love you, Keith. All right, Adam, there are a bunch of injuries on both sides of this Cardinals-Saints matchup. What more can you tell us there?
Well, let's start with the New Orleans Saints, Laura. They've already ruled out Jarvis Landry and Michael Thomas, as well as their cornerback, Marshawn Lattimore. So the Saints are going to be shorthanded at some key spots. They also did not give any injury designation whatsoever to the quarterback, Jameis Winston. Now, Dennis Allen has not said yet who's starting at quarterback, Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton. But if Andy Dalton starts tomorrow night, on a night when Jameis Winston doesn't have an injury designation, that tells you that the Saints have made a change at quarterback. On the Arizona side, James Conner listed as questionable. DeAndre Hopkins expected to be back. So there's some injury news as well on Arizona, which is missing Marquise Hollywood Brown, the wide receiver, who Cliff Kingsbury said today is out indefinitely, a minimum of a month, and they'll see if and when they can get him back from his foot injury.
Yeah, really interesting there on the Saints quarterback situation. We'll have to watch out for that if Jameis Winston doesn't, in fact, get an injury designation before tomorrow. Still to come on NFL Live, with a banged-up defense, can Jimmy G and San Francisco's offense do it themselves and carry the load against the Chiefs? We'll talk about it next. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We'll get you ready for football this weekend as the Sunday NFL Countdown crew has you covered for Week 7 at 10 a.m. And the Monday Night Countdown crew gets you set for Bears-Patriots, 6 Eastern, both on ESPN and the app. Let's get to Chiefs 49ers, an interesting game this week. Mahomes and the Chiefs, of course, coming off that loss to the Bills. Mahomes throwing the interception in the final moments, but they're taking on a beat-up 49ers team. No other way to look at it with those 49ers. The Chiefs, 3-point favorites in this one, by the way. And time now for Marcus's marquee matchup. I'm not going to sing anymore.
Welcome. 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 Nice to have you all here.
Good. What is the matchup you're keeping an eye on in this game between the Chiefs and the 49ers?
For me, it's San Francisco's run game. Listen, when I used to go to church and I was little, they say you got to go to the well when things are going wrong. The well for the San Francisco 49ers is the run game and the line of scrimmage. With the potential to get Trent Williams back, they have to use Kyle Juszczyk. They have to figure out how to get Wilson going. Did not have a successful day against the Atlanta Falcons running the football. We saw the Chiefs try to stop the run against the Las Vegas Raiders. Josh Jacobs went over the tune of 100. That is your plan for attack. And then execution. Yeah. Like Jimmy G got to hit throws when they're available. And also you got to catch the football. Ray McLeod last week, 40 yards, might have been a touchdown, dropped the ball, hit his hands. Charlie Warner up the middle of the field, dropped a big chunk yardage play. They got to be more efficient, but they got to get back to the well, Boogie. They got to run the damn ball.
That's your favorite. Well, I mean, you do think about these 49ers. They can get healthy if they can start executing a little bit better, to your point. I don't count them out yet. Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners have struggled to create big plays in the passing game. That's something they'll need to do in order to keep up with those high-powered Chiefs in that offense. Garoppolo has completed only 31% of passes, thrown 15 or more yards downfield, third worst in the NFL. In Sunday's loss against the Falcons, Jimmy G, 0 for 6 with 2 interceptions on those throws.
In front of my mama and everything?
Don't be doing it in front of the mama. What?
They also had 2 drop touchdowns, and he missed 2. So they're not hitting it, but it's not just Jimmy. He's missed it twice. They dropped 2.
Well, okay, so we know they're dealing with a ton of injuries on defense.
Can't hide anymore.
What concerns you about their offense?
Because he can't hide anymore. Mm. You know, everyone talks about Jimmy Garoppolo. What do they say? Well, all he does is win. That's rightfully so. He's 37-18 as a starter for the San Francisco 49ers.
Not bad.
All right, so since he's become the starter for the San Francisco 49ers, when they win, their defense gives up 17 points a game. When they lose, their defense gives up 27 points a game. Ooh. So in those wins, just for context for everybody at home, 17 points a game over the last 5 seasons would literally be the number one defense in the NFL. God bless. I hope they win a lot of games with that.
Wow.
But he doesn't have the guys now with everybody out, so can't hide anymore. Like, it's time for Jimmy Garoppolo and this 49ers offense to carry the water a little bit. 20 points a game ain't going to cut it. It's not going to keep you in the mix. You got to do the kind of carrying till your defense gets healthy.
So y'all going to hate me because you already know what I'm going to say.
You love Jimmy G.
No, it's not that I love him. I like a certain philosophy and a style. You mentioned the defense is playing bad right now because of injuries.
I'm
and
not
things
playing
like
bad. It's just
not what they were playing for before, right? And he's turning the football over and they're dropping the football. You can't win football games like that. We all know this. He's got to do a better job protecting it. Those receivers have got to catch the football because he's not the type of quarterback that can have that luxury of you dropping balls. He just it won't. You can't. There's no way. With that defense being banged up, he's got to do a little bit more, just like Dan is saying. But I don't know that he can.
But here's
and, I don't know that they have.
You know what I can't watch anymore, Key?
Yes.
I can't watch Kyle call the perfect play versus the perfect coverage, and you get the big post, and you miss it by 3 yards again. Like, Kittle dropped a touchdown last week. George Kittle ain't going to drop touchdowns ever again.
But he did.
But you
don't have the luxury of dropping those footballs because your quarterback isn't that good.
Okay.
So you have to catch the football.
That's a fair
point. Is he capable? Is it a skill set thing? Is it a lack of ability to see the field thing?
I do not believe that Jimmy Garoppolo is capable of carrying the football team. No.
No, he's not capable of carrying it. No.
But in this situation right now, that's what's needed.
Yeah, they do need him. You said it. He's being exposed a little bit. Now it's time to catch a crumpled piece of paper like we do every Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.
Oh, she fell in the chair.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.